Your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read there earlier. We're going to be spending most of the morning in those 13 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. At various holidays throughout the year, like Christmas and birthdays and Valentine's Day and anniversaries, we engage in this ritual of giving gifts to each other. And over the years, I have learned a few things about giving gifts, and if you have not learned these things, you probably should pay attention. Here's the basics. I have learned that children prefer toys to clothes. If you've ever been to a child's birthday party, the clothes seem to end up in the same pile as all the wrapping paper, but the toys, oh my, those are great. As they get a little older, young women prefer clothes to toys. And young men still prefer toys. As they get older yet, older women prefer jewelry and clothes to toys. And older men still prefer toys. I have also learned that buying clothes for your wife, size is extremely important, in that it can be just as big an insult as buying them too small as too big. However, if you're going to err on one side or the other, I would recommend that small is better. In fact, I would recommend that jewelry just take the place of clothes. One size fits all earrings is just perfect. I have learned that some gifts are acceptable to give on one holiday, but not another. Such as, it is perfectly okay to give a toaster oven on Christmas, but not on Valentine's Day. And it is also okay to give intimate apparel on Valentine's Day, but not on Christmas morning with the family. And I have learned that there is not a holiday on the calendar where a year's membership to Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, or a gym is acceptable. Giving gifts is a little bit dicey at times. But when you get it right, when you delight someone that you love with the perfect gift at the right time, there is nothing better. And that gift is the gift that fits them to a T. They can use it immediately, and those who are around validate that it looks great on them. And that is the kind of gifts that God gives His children. Gifts that fit us perfectly. They are gifts that we can use immediately. And gifts that when others see us, they say, "You look good in that." And it's on this subject that we want to spend this morning. That if we are children of God, if we have received the wonderful grace of the sacrifice for our sin by Jesus Christ, then we have been given a spiritual gift. And wouldn't it be a tragedy if we just set that gift on the shelf because we weren't really sure what to do with it? This is why the writer of 1 Corinthians said in the very first verse of chapter 12 that he did not want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So in order for us to clearly understand these gifts that God so graciously gave us, we need to understand some basic principles. And the first basic principle is this: who gave your gift? You need to know who it is that gave you the gift. Well, you just said, Randy, that God was the one that gives spiritual gifts. I know I said that, but indulge me for a little bit and let me amplify this just a little bit this morning. Look at our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's break this down into some pieces that maybe we can understand. Before Christ, all of us, every one of us, were led astray or influenced by things other than the living God. Things that were dead, so to speak. They could not convince us by audible voice. However, they somehow still led us astray. A perfect example of this is in Exodus chapter 32, when it talks about when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And when he gave him the Ten Commandments, there was something else that was going on at the bottom of Mount Sinai, which is more than just what was happening at the top. You see, the people of Israel got a little bit impatient, and they got bored in waiting for God to speak. So what they did was, they got all their jewelry together, their gold jewelry, and they melted it down, and they formed it into a golden calf, and they began to worship it. Now, we may sit there and say, how foolish. It was the living God that Moses was getting the Ten Commandments for, was it not? Well, then why all of a sudden would we want to worship something that was made out of a hunk of gold and could not speak? You see, somehow the people of Israel were influenced to follow a golden calf instead of a living God. The fact of the matter is this. In our natural state, without Christ, we will always move away from God. We set our minds on things like, I need to become rich and successful, or that's our golden calf. It may be mute, and it doesn't really speak to us, but it draws us nonetheless. We may place our well-being above serving and glorifying God. It doesn't speak to us, but yet that still is something that we worship and we are drawn to. You see, in our natural state, when the sinful man is in charge, we cannot ever say, Jesus is Lord. Why? Because we are Lord. Now, this is important because when we place ourselves on the throne, that very act is idolatry. And we curse Jesus Christ and the work he did by sacrificing himself for us. However, by surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sins, we now have placed Jesus Christ in his proper place, and now we say, Jesus is Lord. And that work can only be done by the work of the Holy Spirit. Only. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So what does this have to do with spiritual gifts? It says this, don't be ignorant, brothers. Don't be mistaken. You cannot have a spiritual gift unless you have the Holy Spirit, because only by Him do you have the ability to call Him Lord. And if you don't call Him Lord, how can you serve Him? It can't be done. Without the Holy Spirit, your only motivation for serving will be to bring glory and honor to yourself. He and He alone is the originator of the gifts, because everything comes from Him. Let's look at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, But the same God works all of them in all men. These gifts do not come from within you. Let's understand that. It is not something you're naturally good at, or that would be to glorify you, bringing glory to you. It is not something that you aspire to, or that would be something that you could work at achieving, once again, bringing glory to you. It says, don't be ignorant, brothers. If our works were enough to honor God, then you might as well curse the work that Christ did on the cross, because it would be worthless. These gifts were given by the Holy Spirit of God, by the work of Christ on the cross, and by no other means. We have to understand that. Now, there are some who say that you don't get the Holy Spirit at the time of your conversion. I find this to be a bit troubling. Because if you don't, then you minimize the work that Christ did on the cross. And therefore, you allude to the fact that there is a need for a more significant event later on. And frankly, that is just blasphemy. Because there is not a more significant event than Christ's sacrifice on the cross. There's one event that changes you and I, that draws us to Christ. There's one event that changes us from the inside and dispenses the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that is our belief in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:3 says this. You don't have to turn, just listen. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Did you see that? Don't ignore such a great salvation. This salvation was confirmed in you by what? By the Holy Spirit of God. And part of that confirmation was that gifts of the Holy Spirit were distributed among the believers. Turn back in your Bibles to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I want us to look at something there as we amplify this just a little bit more. The very first chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to start at verse 4. Verse 4, I thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. How was it confirmed? Was it not by the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives? Look what he says next in verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what this says. He saved you by his grace. He enriched you in every way. You do not lack any spiritual gift, and he will keep you to the end. Why? Because you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 1 says, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, why are we spending all this time talking about who gave us this gift? Because it is not something we muster up on our own. Your spiritual gift was given to you at your conversion free of charge. It wasn't cheap because of the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, but it's free of charge. Your conversion to Christ, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you were given a spiritual gift. Now, to really understand this, you need to really see who this whole letter of 1 Corinthians was written to. The Corinthian church, as you may know, was a church in trouble. They in many ways had become selfish and completely carnal in their thinking. They tolerated sin among the church. They were bickering over who their favorite apostle was. They were twisting the word of God by packaging it in human logic. There was incest. There was litigation among the membership. There was immorality. There was divorce. There was self-indulgence. There was chaos in their communion and in their worship services. So it is interesting to me when you get to verse 4 of chapter 1, the start of this whole letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians, that he starts his letter off with the phrase, "In him you have been enriched in every way," and then he follows that up with saying, "You do not lack any spiritual gift." These people in Corinth were not living in such a way that they deserved an enriched life whatsoever. They were not living in such a way that they deserved spiritual giftedness from God. However, their carnal lifestyle helps us discover that our spiritual giftedness does not depend on us. John MacArthur says, "They are given to each believer without regard to maturity or spirituality." So now that we understand who gave it to us, and now that we understand that it's not something that I muster up on my own, but it is something that the Holy Spirit dispensed in me at the time of my conversion, we need to get to the second point. What is your gift? And what is it for? I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, and I want us to look again at verse 4 that we read earlier. And before we emphasized that there was different gifts, but we emphasized the fact that it was from one source. Now I want us to look at the other part of that verse that talks about the differences. Chapter 12, verse 4, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men." As I read these verses, I kind of see between the lines that the gift that the Holy Spirit gave you is specifically designed for you. Specifically. And since you are unique and different from every other believer, your gift will manifest itself in a one-of-a-kind way. You see what it says there? There's different kinds of gifts and different kinds of service that you use that gift, and different kinds of working that you use that gift. And because you are not wired the same as I am and different from everyone else in this room, that gift will manifest itself completely different. Let's step back for a minute and look at this in a different way. Every human being, I'm assuming you're all human beings in this room, every human being has been given a specific genetic makeup. You cannot turn on the news or watch television, the CSIs and all that other stuff, or read an article that you're not going to come across something about DNA. It is your fingerprint of who you are. And the more we know about this human body, we realize that we have been given a genetic makeup that is completely different from everybody else. None of us are exactly the same. What's interesting, too, is in a room of this size, and you look at all the people here, all of you are completely recognizable. You're different. You look different. Now, you can get a larger group of people. Let's say we go to Charger Stadium. Sorry I brought that up. But the fact that we would all sit in this really large stadium, every single person in that stadium looks different. Do you find that odd? I do, because we all have the same exact elements to our face. We have a nose, we have two lips, we have two eyes, two ears, a chin, cheekbones, forehead, and various amounts of hair. And the thing about it is, what's interesting is, as you take those elements, and because of our genetic makeup, every one of us looks completely enough different that we're completely recognizable in a crowd. Now let us take what we know about our physical bodies and apply it spiritually. Because each Christian, every believer, was given a new birth. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says, for you, Christian, have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. In other words, once your body was of perishable seed, but now you've been given a new birth, a brand new birth with imperishable seed. And even later on in chapter 12, God uses the metaphor of our physical bodies as an example of the body of Christ. God many times in Scripture has used this metaphor of our physical bodies as an example of His church, which would not be logical. It's a logical thing that we look at the fact that our bodies are so uniquely different, would we not also believe that the spiritual bodies or the spiritual people in the church are just as unique? God has fearfully and wonderfully made our physical bodies. Would we not also believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully created in our spirituality also, in our spiritual gifts too, in our talents and our abilities? At our new birth, we're given a new spiritual genetic makeup, one that makes us unique from all other Christians, and the one that makes us completely, uniquely useful to God in a different way from each other. If Almighty God was so specific in making our physical bodies different and unique, why do we feel when it comes to spiritual gifts that we have to fall into cookie cutter molds? It's not the same. Let's go back to the question. What is it and what is it for? Look at verse 7. Now to each one, that's to each gift, to each person, the manifestation or the expression of the Spirit is given for the common good. How the Holy Spirit manifests itself or shows Himself to the church is through the gifts He gives believers. And the purpose is for the common good of the whole church. Let's talk about this. What is it and what is it for? The gift is there so that you will manifest the Holy Spirit to the church, that you will be a vehicle for the church to know about God. And the reason for it is so that God will be glorified. The reason for it is that it is for the whole church. Everyone benefits from your gift. And then he gives us a list. In verse 8, to one there is given the Spirit, given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another interpretation of tongues. In Romans 12, the list gets longer. He lists prophecy, faith, service, teaching, encouragement, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, administration, and mercy. It continues in Ephesians chapter 4. To some he gave apostles, some he gave evangelists, some he gave pastors, teachers. And then in verse 11 in our text it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now I would love to walk down the rows this morning and point to each of you and say, your spiritual gift is, but I can't, because I don't know. Oh, I can watch you serve God, and it may become evident to me of what your gift may be. But you have to be honest with you, this is a gift that God gave you that you need to unwrap on your own. This is a gift that God gave you that as you study God's Word, as you spend time with Him in prayer, as you call Him Lord and you serve Him, this gift becomes evident as you unwrap it in front of the rest of us. You see, at your new birth, you were created for a reason. And it is your unique gift given specifically to you by the Holy Spirit. And as you use it, you will discover it fits you perfectly. You will discover it brings you joy and you desire to use it immediately. And as others see it, they will validate that it looks good on you. Now, some of you are saying, wait a minute, you didn't tell me, so you didn't explain it so that we all know what our spiritual gift is. Well, I'm going to leave that for the teachers because I'm not a teacher. In reality is that this list is here. Sometimes I think it's scary when we start putting labels on ourselves. So I want us to jump to the third point, and we're kind of going to flesh this out a little bit. And that is how and when do we use it? And for some of us, that's going to be a little bit confusing because don't we need to know what it is before we can truly use it? I mean, don't I have to actually, if I'm an evangelist, don't I have to know that I'm evangelist before I can evangelize? If I'm a teacher, shouldn't I know that before I start teaching? You see, the problem is, let me console you all a little bit here. I do not believe it's important that we put a label on ourselves. What is truly important here is that you know and believe that you are equipped to serve God, and that is your act of worship to Him. In other words, as we talked about earlier, it is the act of calling Him Lord. You see, if you believe that you are equipped, if you believe that the Holy Spirit of God has given you a gift, this is my recommendation, that you say, you are Lord of my life, and I will do what you ask me to do, and I will believe that you have equipped me to do the job. And as you serve, your gift will become evident. You see, labels often get in the way of God's plan. Here's the problem that can happen if you label yourself. If you say, this is my gift, but God leads you toward another kind of ministry, you may resist and not go because you think that particular service will not suit you. But who is Lord? I'll share with you kind of personally here. My gift is, for the most part, I believe, is prophecy / exhortation. Now, not prophecy from the standpoint I can tell you the future, but prophecy, a prophet in the Bible is someone who proclaims the Word of God. That's a passion of mine. And I believe that my giftedness is along those areas. But that gift manifests itself through many different kinds of ministries that may look like they carry a completely different label than what my gifts are. For instance, I have been told that I have the gift of evangelism because I have led people to Christ. I have been told I have the gift of leadership when I'm directing others. I have been told I have the gift of administration when I'm coordinating worship teams or other groups. I have been told I have the gift of teaching when I'm in front of a group. But even though I have been involved in many different kinds of ministries that look like they maybe are of a different gift, I do them with the heart of prophecy and exhortation. I have a good friend of mine that came to know Christ through a ministry of mine that I was leading a worship team at the time. And between songs, I would often share something that God had done in my life or something I was studying or something that I wanted to share with the people that God had done. And this person had heard the plan of salvation before, but it was through my ministry and being a worship leader that this person just said, at that moment in time that I shared that, they said, I want that. They received Christ because of that moment. I was not operating as an evangelist. I was operating within my gifts, but God took the way He wired me with my gifts to draw another person to Him, and it did not have to do anything with the fact that, okay, I'm an evangelist, so I have to share. My wife also has the gift of helping. She loves to assist others as they have needs, but she also teaches precept Bible study. But she does it with a heart of helping other people by teaching them the Word of God. You see, your specific gift, coupled with the call of God for service, and your unique God-created personality enable the Spirit of God to proclaim His truth in a way that no one else can. It is not just evangelists who win people to Christ. It is not just those who have the gift of teaching that teach, nor the gift of service who serve, or the gift of giving are the only ones who give. It takes all of us to do the work of God. As we serve, we will do what God has called us to do with the heart of the gift that He has given us, making us a unique use to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Incidentally, by Him using those Jews and Greeks, slave and free, what He was talking about is He was picking extremes in that particular time. Jews and Greeks were extreme from each other. Slave and free were extreme. So what He's saying that all of you, extreme Jews, extreme Greeks, and everybody in between have been given a gift, and you all use it for one purpose, and that is by the Spirit of God for the glorifying of God. So let's put some legs on this. Very simply, for God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, to be most visible, all the parts of the body must function. All of us. All the gifts I briefly mentioned this morning all work together for one purpose, and that is to make Christ known through the teaching and the acting out of God's Word. And if you think for one minute that He does not need you, all you need to think about is the analogy of your own body. If a part is missing, oh, it may continue to function, but it will be inefficient and ineffective. I want us to think about our hand for a minute. The Bible talks about that it says that the hand should never say to the foot that it is not needed. That would be foolish. But let's look at the hand and let's call that a body part. Let's call it a gift. Let's, for the sake of argument, call it evangelism. This is evangelism right here. Now, we could all say that we need to look exactly like a hand in order for us to be evangelists. But let's analyze it further. What is the hand made up of? It's got skin. And it's got two different kinds of skin. It's got the skin on your palm is different than the skin on the back of your hand. There's bones in that hand. There's about 23 or 24, I don't know how many, more than 20 bones in your hand. There's nerves. There's ligaments. There's fingernails. There's fingers. All these things all work together to create one hand. All uniquely different parts, all unique in some way or another, but all working together to make this particular evangelism work. And you see, that's what the body of Christ is like. Many people gifted with various talents, doing many different kinds of ministries, in many different ways, using many different methods, all for one purpose, and all by the power and direction of one source, the Holy Spirit of God. When I get a chance to talk on things like this, I realize that many of you will leave here this morning with various reactions. Some of you will respond that says, "Lord, here I am. Use me as you wish. I'll do whatever you ask me to do, and I realize that you will gift me to do it." But there are others that will be a little bit more cautious. And let me talk to you for just a minute. You have been hurt or rejected by others, and you are not interested in putting yourself on the line of fire again. I've been there. I know that. You are afraid of failure. Maybe you've fallen on your face in ministry and you've tried it before and you failed miserably and you don't want to do it again. Maybe you're too busy. Everything else in your life demands too much time and you can't even think about adding one more thing. You just can't seem to find a place in church that suits you. It just doesn't fit you. You don't know why. It's just something you've never really gone out and tried because as you stand back, you just don't see where you fit in. Or maybe it's simply that you just like your life just the way it is and you don't want to be bothered. Matthew 25:14 tells a story, tells a parable of a man that he left on a journey and he gave as he left, he gave talents to three of his servants. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, and to one he gave one. And while he was away, the one he gave five and two, the one he gave five and two, they took those gifts and those talents and they multiplied them. And when they came back, the master came back, the one with five went to him and said, I have worked the talents you gave me, and I now have 10. And the one with two says, I have worked the talents you've given me, and I now have 4. But there was one that gave one talent to, and he did nothing. He hid it. Because he was afraid, or he was hurt, or he was busy, or he was lazy. Listen to the master's response. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Listen, I do not know why God called you into His family. I do not know what spiritual gift He gave you. I don't know why He gave you that spiritual gift. But He did. He absolutely did. And if you are a child of God, then the call of your life is to call Him Lord and to serve Him. And when we use our talents and gifts, we remove ourselves from the throne of our lives and we call Him Lord. I realize that as I say this, the last thing I want to do is create guilt. Worst motivator there is. That's not my point. And I don't want you to serve God because you're going to let me down or let Rob down or let anybody else down. I don't want you to do that either. That's not my point. What I want you to understand is you were given a wonderful gift by a wonderful God. And what He's calling you to do this morning is to call Him Lord and say, yes, I'll serve you. I'll do what you ask. There will come a day when we were all called to present our gifts back to the Lord. We will present back to Him the gifts that He gave us to the extent we used them and we multiplied them, whether 5 became 10 or 2 became 4 or 1 became 2. But the point is that we will present them back to Him. And at that moment in time, it will be clear who is Lord of your life. And I don't think our busy schedule or our fear or our hurt will be on our minds. There will be only one thing that we so desperately long to hear from our Savior, and that is this: thanks. You did good. Let's pray.